currency will become more valuable whenever demand for it is greater than the available supply. And currency risk or exchange risk, rate risk, is a form of financial risk that arises from potential change in the exchange rate of one currency in relation to another. There is always a risk involved. Whether the rate of one currency reduces vis-a-vis the other or increases vis-a-vis the other, there is always an exchange rate risk involved. Investors of business face an exchange rate risk when they have assets or operations across national borders, or if they have loans or borrowings in a foreign currency. Yes, they are more affected by these currency exchange risks. But there is one clear factor, that an exchange rate risk need not be a loss always. Such exchange can be a gain or a loss depending on how the business has handled the currency. And this kind of a movement affects the speculators more. There are two basic types of currency risk. One is the transaction risk. This is the exchange rate will change unfavorably over a period of time. And another is the translation risk, which is an accounting concept. When countries, within their accounting system, they translate such risk. Of course, it is proportional to the amount of assets held in foreign currencies. And changes in the exchange rate over time will render a report inaccurate. And so, assets are usually balanced by borrowing in that particular currency. If they invest in the home currency and the home currency devalues, investors have lost money. Like all stock market investments are subject to a currency risk, whether they are in the same or different currency. Stock markets are directly connected with their risk as far as currency risk is concerned. Why? Because there is an international movement of currencies. Now we have foreign direct investments coming and going. And the only way to avoid a currency risk is to invest in commodities which hold value independently of the monetary system. That is, they are called stable currencies. This is also associated with a foreign denominated instrument and is a significant consideration in foreign investments. If a business buys or sells in another currency, then revenue and assets can move upwards or downwards as exchange rates between the transaction currencies change in relation to the home currency. If a business borrows funds in another currency, the repayment on the debt could change in terms of the home currency. And if the business has invested overseas, the returns on investment may alter with the exchange rate movements. Currency risk has been shown to be particularly significant and damaged for very large one-off investment projects or so-called mega projects. That means large projects or investment projects like turnkey projects. Here, currency exchange rates definitely affect to a very great extent. This is because the projects are typically financed by very large debts nominated in currencies different from the currency of the home country of the owner of the debt. And condition, political conditions may again affect the currency, foreign currency. Now, let us look at the trading method of foreign exchange. How does the trading take place actually? This foreign exchange market is a globally decentralized or over-the-counter market for trading of currencies. It does not have a fixed marketplace, but decentralized global market. It determines the foreign exchange rate for every currency. And it includes all aspects of buying, selling, exchange currencies at current or future determined prices also. And in terms of trading volumes, it is by far the largest market in the world today, followed of course by the credit market. Since normally currencies are traded in pairs, and foreign exchange market does not set the currency's absolute value, but determines the relative value by setting the market price of one currency if paid for with another currency. The main participants are very large international banks, and behind the scenes, they in turn go to a number of financial firms which are known as dealers. That means in the front, the dealers are the people who deal with this. Just like share market, you've got brokers in the front. They are dealers in the front. Same way for financial market also. In the front, you have got dealers. And these dealers, they exchange quantum in very large numbers, running into hundreds of millions of dollars, because of sovereignty issue between two currency. The foreign exchange market as a whole has very little supervisory control regulating their action. No country regulates such an action. Country, any single country can look after its own currency, but they cannot regulate the movement of foreign exchange. This market assists international trade, of course, but more than that, it is the investments by enabling currency conversion. It also gives support to speculation and evaluation related to the value of currency and the carry trade speculation based on differential interest rates between the two currencies. Maybe in certain cases, currency exchange rates may be on a day-to-day basis also. This market is unique, very, very unique because of these reasons, following reasons. One, it has got very huge trading volumes representing very large asset class in the world, having high liquidity. Its geographical dispersion, that means geographically, the entire world is open to this trading. It has got a continuous operation 24 hours a day, except for weekends. That is trading from 2200 Greenwich Mean Time on Sunday in Sydney until 2200 Greenwich Mean Time on Friday in New York. And having a variety of factors that affect exchange rates on a day-to-day, by time-to-time basis. But one very peculiar factor is that it has got a very low margins, very low margins of relative profit as compared to your other trading of goods and services or fixed income margin. This has got a very low margin, but because of the large volumes, the profit or loss is very huge. Very huge profit or loss occurs. The exchange rate is the current value of any currency in the exchange for another currency. Time and place. Rate fluctuates constantly in response to economic and political events, like I have explained to you. And these markets where the trades are conducted is one of the world's largest markets in sheer volumes. How? Trading in volumes, a basic minimum trade volume for entering this market has got to be minimum $10,000. Any transaction below $10,000 is not allowed as a trading method. You cannot trade. So your trading amount should be above $10,000. And most of these traders are professionals. They are investing either for themselves or for institutional clients like banks and large corporations. It has got no physical address at all. But it's a form of investments. There is no unified or centrally cleared market for majority of the trades. And very little cross-border regulation as far as actual currency trading is concerned. There is no regulation at all. Why? Because there is a over-the-counter nature of currency market, and there are a number of interconnected marketplaces where different currency instruments are traded. Very few interconnected marketplaces are there where such trading actually takes place. London is the dominant market. Why? Because most of the currencies in the past were quoted by the London market price. London exchange rate was very famous in the past, and therefore London was the dominant market. But as of today, the trading markets are in London, New York, though Tokyo, Hong Kong and Singapore are also important centers, but the largest volumes are London and New York. Euro and UK pound exchange will take place in London. As far as US dollar trading is concerned, will take place in New York. And other centers, Tokyo, like Japanese yen, because Japan trades more. Hong Kong for China trades. China is also trading quite a lot through Hong Kong. And of course, for all other Asian countries, it is Singapore. These are all important centers. And banks throughout the world participate in this kind of a trade through the dealers. This happens continuously throughout the day. As Asian trading session ends, the European session begins, followed by the North American session, and then back to the Asian session. So there is a continuous cycle, day, night, continuously, night over here, day somewhere else. So the session is always continuous. And therefore, fluctuations are also continuous. And fluctuation actually happens at the time of actual monetary flow or by an expectation of changes in monetary policy. These are caused by changes in GDP, growth, inflation, purchasing power parity theory, interest rate parity, budget and trade deficits or surplus, large cross-border movement and deals and other macroeconomic conditions. These are all the reasoning behind the fluctuations. And news about this is released publicly on scheduled dates so that all people connected with this have the access to the same news at the same time, and therefore the action and reaction happens on the spot. Exchange rate changes take place on the spot. When there is so much of the trading going on, there has got to be certain financial instruments also involved. Let's try to understand some of the instruments which are involved. The first is a spot trading. Spot trading is the direct exchange between two currencies and having shortest possible time. It involves a cash directly across the counter. I have got so much of my exchange, I want to sell it to your exchange rate. I'll give you this, you give me this. Exchange rate is fixed over the counter directly. This is the most common type of foreign exchange trading. Then there is a forward contract. Here, the foreign exchange risk prevalent. You engage in a transaction where you want to safeguard your profit or on this. That is, you sell your money which you are supposed to receive later on. There is a forward contract. Money does not change hand immediately, but it is given at an agreed future date. That is, I want to have, I know as an exporter, I have exported goods today on a 30 days basis. So my bank will give me so many dollars on 31st day. Now today I have got exchange rate of US dollar at 75 rupees. Maybe after 31 days that may reduce to even 72, 73 rupees. So that's a exchange rate risk. Therefore, to avoid such a risk, what I will do is I will sell that dollar under a forward contract. Send a message to the dealer. On such and such date, I am having so many dollars which I want to sell. Entry of contract today, what exchange rate you will give? The dealer may give a forward exchange rate at, let's say, $74. So here the exporter knows that he's losing 1 rupee per dollar only, and the rest, $74, is safe with him. Now, when he actually delivers the amount to that party concerned, on that day, the exchange rate may be upward or lowered. And then the difference is absorbed by the forward contractor. Regardless of the exchange rate prevalent at a particular time, the forward contract will always have a different exchange rate depending on the contract between the party who is getting the foreign exchange at a future date and the contractor or dealer. there is a non-deliverable forward contract. Here, prime brokers offer such contracts which are derivatives that have no real deliverability at all, but they are mainly used for speculation purpose. And swap type, the most common type of forward transaction is the foreign exchange swap. In a swap, two parties will exchange currencies for a certain length of time and agree to reverse the transaction at a later date. Now, I am getting US dollar today for my export contract, okay? But if I feel that exchange rate is low, I do not want to give it to the bank and take money from the bank. In turn, I'll give it to somebody else who wants the US dollar. I'll say, I'm giving you this US dollar. In turn, you give me so much cash. And then at a later date, you return back the dollars to me and I give you back your cash in Indian rupees. Of course, this type of a contract has got a definite standardized contract system, and maybe there is a deposit holding account which is required for completing such a transaction. Just like a forward, there is a futures contract also. They specify a standard volume of a particular currency to be exchanged on a specific settlement date. Futures are always having a settlement date, not a like a forward on a fixed day. They fix different settlement dates. Thus, currency futures contracts are similar to forward contracts in terms of their obligation, but they differ from forward contracts in the way they are actually traded. There you have got a fixed date on which it is done for a fixed period on a fixed time. Here, no, only settlement dates are declared. It need not be a fixed date, but it may be variable dates. Next, you have got an option, that is a foreign exchange option, which are shortened just to as FX option, where owner has got the right but not the obligation to exchange money denominated in one currency into another currency at a pre-exchange rate on a specific date. No, you do not have a pre-specified date or rate, but to be decided option to be taken at a later date as decided between the two parties, and the terms of exchange rate would be settled when the option is taken. Of course, as I told you, that this is mainly speculation method, but not necessarily only speculation. It is also safeguarding your interest. That means it has got both the factors involved. Here, currency speculation technically is a very highly suspect activity in many countries. Countries officially do not allow speculation. Therefore, investments in traditional financial instruments like bonds or stocks is often considered to contribute positively to economic growth by providing capital currency. But speculation is simply gambling. And this type of gambling interferes with the economic policies of the respective countries. And speculators are compared to vigilantes, and sometimes they spread rumors also. They only enforce international agreements and anticipate the effect of basic economic laws in order to get profit. They manipulate only to get their profit. Sometimes countries mishandle their national economies. And in such cases, foreign exchange speculators, they make it inevitable for that currency to collapse sooner than actually it will collapse. Well, yes, you would like to have a risk aversion. This is a kind of trading behavior exhibited by foreign exchange market. Now, a potentially adverse event happens which may affect market conditions. And this behavior is caused when the trader liquidate their position in risky assets and shift to funds which are less risky assets due to uncertainty in the market. And in this context, this market exchange rate traders will liquidate their position in various currencies to take up positions in safe haven currencies like the Swiss francs. Of course, everybody may not think Swiss franc to be the safest. Choice of a safe haven for currency is more of a choice based on prevailing sentiments rather than one of economic statistics. Statistics don't work over here. It is the sentiments which are there in the market. If you look at hedge, it is a type of financial instrument which is actually a derivative. It derives its value from an underlying asset. That means when you have an asset, then you can go for hedge. If you do not have an asset, you cannot go for hedging. It is a way for a company to minimize or eliminate the foreign exchange risk. There are two methods. One is a forward and second is an option. The forward contract will lock in an exchange rate at which the transaction will occur in the future. Mind you, transaction does not take place today. In forward, it is started today, but the transaction actually contract is for locking the exchange rate at for a future date. The exchange rate which is applicable today will not apply, but the date which is fixed for the future date, a stable exchange rate will be selected for that day. That is the forward contract. When we look at option is that which sets a rate at which the company may choose to exchange currency. An international firm, he has got a foreign currency from an international trade transaction. Now, he has calculated his exchange rate at a particular rate. Now, when the money actually comes in or it has got to come in, on that day, the exchange rate may not be that which he has already calculated for his costing. What he will do, he will take it a hedge. And in the hedge, he will ask for an option. And in that option, he will set the exchange rate which he has calculated and tell the hedge company that the day on which this exchange rate is available, I will give my currency. If currency exchange rate is more favorable, then the company may not exercise this option. But if it is not favorable to him and he finds that his costing is not being satisfied, then he will take the option of the exchange rate at a future date. Hedging can always involve the use of a foreign forward contract. It is a method used by companies to eliminate or hedge foreign exchange risk resulting from transactions in foreign currency. He will try to safeguard his currency, number one. He doesn't want to take a risk. And also the exchange risk. Number one, he'll safeguard his money. Number two, he wants to safeguard the exchange rate. So, the company will take a hedge with another party who will neutralize the risk of a loss and foregoing any potential exchange gain. Some businesses hedge all their foreign exchange exposure or exposure beyond some predetermined comfort level. International trading companies always like to have a comfort level of exchange rate so that their profit margin is not reduced. And that is why they use this method of transferring the risk to another business who is prepared to carry the risk or has a reverse risk exposure, which is either done by a cash flow or a fair value method. And this type of investment risk is more classic kind of risk faced by almost every foreign exchange investor. From billion-dollar macro hedge funds to individuals trading minuscule accounts. Minuscule also is not less than $10,000. Hedge is taken for investment risk also by large investors, but more so by individual trading companies who are having small accounts movement where they want to safeguard their profit margin. Forfeiting is another type of instrument. It's a service providing medium-term financial support for export-import of capital goods. Now, you recollect I told you before about Exim Bank, Export-Import Bank of India. Exim Bank is doing this kind of forfeiting work. Here, the third party will provide support and he is termed as the forfeiter. Forfeiter will provide medium-term finance to and will commonly also take on certain risks from the importer and takes on all the risk from the exporter. That means exporter doesn't have any risk, neither from financial angle nor exchange angle. But the exporter has to give in return a small margin to the forfeiter. Payment may be made by negotiable instrument enabling forfeiter to lay off certain risks. This word is derived from a French words, that is forfeit, means to relinquish. Forfeit means relinquish a right. In this case, the exporter's right to receive payment from the customer, that is the importer. Exporter will relinquish his right and therefore importer will pay directly to the forfeiter. That is the basic concept. Main characteristics over here are that there is an extension of credit to the importer for a period between 180 days and 7 years. This is specifically for large projects, especially turnkey projects. And here, for such type of forfeiting, minimum bill has to be normally is $2,50,000. Though most of the large forfeiting companies, they prefer $5 lakh. Payment is receivable in any major convertible currency. That means it can be exchanged for any currency. But here, a letter of credit or a bank guarantee is made by a bank, usually in the importer's country. Why? Because it's a type of credit being given to the importer. And therefore, the bank of the importing country has got to give either a guarantee or a letter of credit. There has to be a contract. It can be either for goods or for services. But here, the major benefit is to the exporter from forfeiting includes eliminating political, transfer and commercial risks and improving his cash flow. Because he gets payment immediately the moment he exports the goods, submits document to the bank, he gets payment immediately. Importer wants credit, he takes from the forfeiter. So, his all types of risks, including political, transfer, exchange rate, is eliminated. Forfeiter, he gets an extra margin. Number one, margin from the exporter. But number two is when actually he gets back his payment in foreign exchange. At that time, the exchange rate may be positive, which one can give him an added advantage and profitability. Thank you.